Hey everyone.
This is going to be a special episode of the Main Yarn Podcast. This was recorded at Searsport Shores, which is my background right now, even though I'm not there anymore and I miss it dearly. This is an interview we did with Melanie of Yarn Journeys. So we will link to her podcast as well. And we had a great time talking to her. So I thought we would just share this with you for our episode today.
Hi, I'm Melanie from Yarn Journeys, and I am so excited to be here in Searsport, Maine, with the organizers of the Knitwit at the Shores retreat, which is here at the Searsport Ocean Shores Campground, a beautiful place. So this is...
Hi, I'm Jen.
And
I'm Julie.
Yeah. And they are with the Main Yarn Podcast. So,
yeah, we've got a special crossover podcast for you here today.
Do, do, do.
We've got both podcasts, so we'll have all of our info in the show notes so you can find another podcast to love, depending on which one you're coming from.
Yep, or channel, or both.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. Where do we want to start?
Jen, Julie, Knitwit at the Shores. How did it come to be? What was the idea behind it?
I'll start. So, sorry, now I've got no voice and I need to talk. We came to an event here. So we both live in Maine, but not in this exact area, a couple of hours away. And Jen suggested coming to the, now I'm going to forget what it's called.
Fiber College.
Fiber College up here, as you said, this wonderful location on the ocean. It's like a campground for all kinds of crafty arts people. It's just the mecca. We came here for the Fiber College. We had a wonderful time. We were walking on the beach, beautiful shale beach. And Jen had already been talking about it'd be nice to do a retreat, a yarn retreat. And we'd been kicking around really for years, I would say. It had been at least a year kind of talking about it in different
forms. Probably a
year.
Because it was about a year after we bought. No, it was still the same year as we bought the shop. I bought the shop.
And where would it be? You know, how could you do it? And I just stood on the ocean and I went, I've got it. It needs to be here. And Jen, I'm sure, was like, what needs to be here? And then take it from there.
Yeah, well, I just talked to Astrid, who's the amazing owner up here, and we made it happen the next year. So it was 2021. So we were still in the throes of COVID.
Yeah.
And makes this place even more perfect because most of the buildings are open air. All the classes are semi outside, but there's places to be under if it's raining. Yeah. And we just found a couple of buildings here. You know, one being the Room of Requirement. We've shared that story. So there's the studio. If you've taken a class in the studio, when you go in there, we were working at Fiber College on a quilt. I was trying to get a quilt put together. I'm like, man, if only we had some masking tape. And I'm like, oh, here's the masking tape.
Yeah.
Man, if only I had this pin. Oh, here it is. You know, everything was just right there
we
for
just
every
did that.
Crafter's.
We just did that. We're like, we need a tape measure. Here you go.
Yeah.
We just did that in that class.
Yeah.
So you have three, at least this time, and this is my first time here. Mm-hmm. You have three superstars of the knitting world, Bristol Ivy, Casa Pinka, and Alicia Plummer are teaching.
Yep. Yeah.
And they are fabulous designers. You know, all three of them feature on the Hot Right Now on Ravelry all the time. And they are teaching.
I know.
And they all three of them are from Maine.
Casa Pinka's from Rhode
Island. Oh, that's Rhode Island.
No, she's originally from Maine.
Yes, but she lives in Rhode Island.
Yeah. I know, but let's claim her.
Okay.
Come on, we're here.
I'm not originally from Maine,
no,
so I can't be claimed.
Neither am
either.
I. Spoiler alert. But yeah, there's Maine roots, at least, for all three of them. And we're so lucky to have, right, to have in this area or willing to come back to Maine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, we're having a special guest.
Okay. Yeah, Alicia just walked in the room. You're on the podcast now.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
We were just talking about you and how amazing you are.
So what's in the water here in Maine? Or, I mean, yeah, it's cold, so it's nice to have, like, you know, knitwear to wear in the winter. But what makes Maine such an awesome place for people who love fiber and knitting and all the woolly goodness?
Man, I don't even know. There's feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of designers here, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you have any theories?
I always have an opinion. I always have a theory. Okay. It doesn't mean it's right. So there's a couple of things. So originally I'm from the UK, and we have a strong fiber tradition and a strong sailing tradition, which is where knitting kind of started. And I feel like this New England versus Old England, you know, there's something there. It feels like you could be singing an old sea shanty and designing a sweater at any point in Maine. And then we have those incredibly long winters. Maine is a lovely place, I've always said. It's just that the winters are about 6 months too long. So, but you have to find yourself a hobby, whether it's an outdoor or an indoor or both. And so knitting lends itself really well to those cold winter days, nights. So that's a couple of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, some other things too, like this is where Quince & Company was born.
Yeah.
And I think Quince & Company, you know, before the days of Ravelry, I can't remember the name of the person who founded Quince & Company right now. Sorry. This is exactly what people hate about podcasts. Sorry. But yeah, so when Quince & Company started, there was a lot of people around that she used for her designers. And I think a lot of them kind of got a start doing that. And then people talk, people have similar hobbies. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe a lot of it grew from that, like in the Portland area at least.
Mm, yeah.
But there are like, you know, there's like artist islands right here, right? You could just go on an island and paint for a week or something. Like, it's just a very artistic state.
There's also a lot of mills in the area, like Bartlett and it's Jaggerspun.
Jaggerspun's here, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Quince used to dye their own yarn here, but they have since moved on and done different things.
It's true, there is a textile industry, because there used to be a strong shoe-making industry, but textiles in general. So.
And just along the rivers and stuff, the mills would work that way.
Yeah.
Way back when. Hmm. But yeah, I think there's a piece too that, you know, this is a place where we can wear our knitwear.
Yeah. And that's true.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's celebrated because you're involved in a bunch of other fiber related events that are in Maine. So tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So starting July 1st, we are going to be kicking off the Maine Yarn Cruise, which is July 1st through October 14th. You're going to get a digital passport on your phone, and you're going to get a fun project bag that is not digital. It's a nice live one because you got to collect project bags.
And it is a tactile hobby after all.
Yep. And you will, from that time, those three months, over the summer while you're here, and then into the fall while you are looking at the leaves. Yes, three and a half months. You will go to 24 different yarn stores if you can, all across the state. And when you go in, you're going to get your passport stamped digitally at each place. And at the end of the summer, well, throughout the summer, every yarn store does giveaways every month. Just by going in and getting your passport stamped, you're going to get those chances to win. You won like two things
the
first year we did
first
it.
Year I
before we were yarn people
I know.
In the industry.
Yeah, the first year I did it, I won these amazing prizes, like one of my needle sets.
Yeah,
is,
like
is
a full interchangeable needle set.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, and then
at the end of the summer, if you've gone to all 24 yarn shops, you'll be entered into a drawing for either a $200 or $400 gift card to the yarn store of your choice here in Maine. So
it's
on the cruise. Yeah.
And to be clear, because we have had some questions about it. So it's called the Yarn Cruise, but it's like you're cruising in with your car. It's not like you have to be on a boat with a bunch of people knitting. You can if you want, but that's not what this
it's
is.
It's a yarn crawl.
It's a yarn crawl. It's like a beer pub crawl. And the digital passport, I'm so looking forward to, because I don't know about anybody else, but I'd be in the car driving around. Like, my husband had to go pick something up from some random place, and we'd drive right by a yarn store on the yarn cruise in prior years. And I go, I don't have my passport. And now, I'm always going to have my phone on me, and it's going to be on the phone. So it's a digital passport.
And there's
on my
a knit along and a crochet along that go along with it.
Oh, yeah.
Within the bag, there'll be patterns, coupons for those patterns, and people organizing it throughout the time period. And if you finish your project in the time period, there's prizes for that too. So people who aren't in Maine can participate that way too. You just have to buy the passport. And they're on sale now. Mm-hmm. At a lot of different yarn stores. Like if you go to Knitwit and search for the Maine Yarn Cruise 2024, you can find the pre-orders. And then as soon as we get everything in and ready, it will be shipped out to you. So yeah, we get orders, it's crazy, from all over the country for people who want the bags like just shipped to them. I don't know if they ever even make it to Maine or if they're just collecting the cool bags.
Yeah, the bags are cool.
Yeah.
And of course, all the links for the Maine Yarn Cruise will be in the description notes.
Yes.
Awesome.
So
exactly.
Yes, you can find details.
So can you tell us about your channel, Melanie? So like, how did you find this place and what is it that you do on Yarn Journey?
So the the idea behind Yarn Journeys was it's fiber tourism, really. it's the idea is, you know, I love to knit and I love to travel and I love combining the two. And so I have been lucky enough to go actually all over the world. So I've done episodes on Iceland, on Ireland, on Japan, and then also in the U.S., going to fiber festivals, New Mexico, and most recently Las Vegas, which was a story. Anywho,
are you allowed to tell it, or does it have to stay in Vegas? Because isn't there a rule? What happens there stays there.
Well, it's just, I think, yeah, that's going to have to stay in Vegas. anywho, so, you know, I think like so many people during the pandemic, I became even more the knitter than I was. Yeah. And I also, like, dove down the rabbit hole of knitting YouTube. And I thought, you know, gee, I think that looks like fun, but what is, like, what can I bring to the table? So it is fun. It is something I love. And what's also cool is I get to meet wonderful people like you. I've now gone into fiber shops, knitting shops all over, and get to see what the different vibe is like in different places. So how did I find out about this? Well, a huge resource for me is Clara Park's old website, which is the Knitter's Review. And she has a extremely comprehensive list of all the fiber events worldwide.
Oh, that's great.
And yours was on there. And this spring, I was like, I want to find something to do this summer. And I want to come back to Maine because I really liked it there. And Knitwood at the Shores was right there. And I signed right up. And I brought my little tent and my suitcase and camping out, enjoying the scenery. Great. And it's wonderful.
Good.
Cool. And so, you travel all the time, you say?
I travel more than most people. I have been lucky to be able to organize my life such that is possible. And in the fall, I'll be heading across the pond to the UK. Nice. So that's the big thing I am excited for.
Oh, well, if you go to Birmingham, I can recommend a yarn store.
Excellent.
Tom Cruise has been there. This is strange.
Tom Cruise knits?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
I don't want to call out Tom Cruise. But he went to that yarn store and did a little photo op. And he said he was getting stuff because he was filming a movie. It was one of the Mission Impossibles. And they were in Birmingham at one point. So he went to the yarn store and did the photo op like he was picking up supplies. I don't know how much of a knitter he is. But he was willing to do it. So, you know,
Wow.
I want to see the sweater, Tom. We want to see
that. You learn something new every day.
Of course, after you come there, they'll be able to say, well, Melanie Bernstein was here.
Move those Tom Cruise photos aside.
Yeah. Can't compete with me.
Tom, who?
So you started your podcast recently then?
It's post-pandemic? Yeah, postman. I started it in 2022. My first run was I did three on Ireland. So my husband and I drove from West Cork up the Wild Atlantic Way all the way to the top of Donegal. And my mission there was, like, there's sheep all over the place. And
kind of like here, actually.
Kinda, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And where's all the wool going? Because if you go to the Irish yarn shops, like This Is Knit in Dublin, Bantry Yarns in Bantry, and it's not Irish wool that they're selling.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm. Unless you go up to, I mean, there's Studio Donegal and Donegal Yarns, and but a lot of that wool and that classic Irish yarn isn't actually Irish wool. It's sometimes they're mixing it with wool from New Zealand.
Yeah.
First of all, and there's no, there are. The fiber processing, you know, pipeline is not complete in Ireland. So I actually got to chat with the owner of Studio Donegal, and he sends his wool to Bradford, I think, in the UK to be scoured. And then they send it back so that he can then mill it there.
Yeah, Yorkshire has a very strong wool processing here, right?
So, but that's changing. And in fact, if you follow Carol Feller, she has been very active in promoting the Galway. She's been working with the Galway Sheep Cooperative. I forget exactly what they're called. So they're trying to promote more wool and fiber flocks. But most of the sheep in Ireland are raised for meat, and then they compost the wool, or at best. So, anyway.
So how often do you put out episodes?
Not as, hopefully we'll be getting more often. So last year, sadly, my mom was ill, and that kind of put, you know, life happens. And also, as you know, like, podcasts are, it's not, I'm finding, you know, I said, oh, I could do that. That looks like fun. And then you find out how much, you know, work goes into it. You know, I'm still learning all the things about how to edit and how to make the production quality good and all the, and you know, it's just like,
we'll work on it. Okay,
every single podcast, I learn something new, and so forth. So hopefully more regularly, but, I mean, provocative take, little spicy. I would rather put out a good, interesting episode than put out an episode just to say, okay, I got to make some content and
And highly polished, but nothing interesting in it, right? You don't want to do that. You don't want to have it so beautifully set up with titles and sounds and everything, but there's nothing in it for people to latch onto. It's just a whole lot of like and subscribe. You know, that's not what people want to tune in for. They want to hear your opinion.
And when I think about the
world.
And when I and when I think about the podcasts that I enjoy, it's really people who are showing me something, teaching me something, and getting me inspired. You know, not the look. I knit a ranunculus for the seventh time. Not that that's a problem.
I know everyone has. We have a little ranunculus problem. But you want it to be something slightly different that people.
The YouTube algorithm doesn't always, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to put out content that I love, not what necessarily what the algorithm is going to.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. No, that's great.
And
yeah.
It will find its way.
Yeah. And thank you for this cross pollination episode, which is a good word because there's a lot of pollen in the air right now.
I know.
But yeah, thank you because I think this is fun to talk to you and hear a bit more about.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you for putting on the retreat. I mean, I personally have never been on a knitting retreat. I've been to knitting events, fiber festivals, places where you take classes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this has its own unique vibe. And And people are so awesome.
They are. It's a great group. It's a great group of knitters. And a lot of people, this is their third year, their second year, people are repeats.
We have some fourth year customers. People too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's people who come every year. Yeah. So, yeah, they love it.
And they come from all over. It's not just Maine, New England. It's
all over. There's people from North Carolina. So,
yeah. We've had some people California
from all, we've had Oregon before. Yeah. We've had people come from all over.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, it's not that hard to get here from all over, because the Bangor, Maine airport is only about an hour away.
Yeah.
I think that's the closest airport of size.
Yeah.
And I actually, it was not a little plane that I flew in. It was like it was a jet with six, you know, so like, don't think you're going.
I know. It had seats. It had a pilot.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It had wings.
So don't think we're in the middle of necessarily nowhere. It's actually pretty easy to get here.
Yeah. And you can get whatever you want here too. You don't have to camp. Like there's other ways to come. They rent some cabins here. There's not a lot, and they rent campers. But there's also other hotels that a lot of people are staying at, and Airbnbs.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty important to know,
And that was a big part of the first year, too. It's like, because it was still in COVID times, and we're like, all right, just come however makes you feel comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be in a hotel, and a camper seemed like everyone was buying campers then.
Yeah.
Right, we bought one.
Yeah.
So, well, we upgraded one. We had a small one.
We got our new one.
Yeah.
In 2020. Yeah.
Yes.
And the food is part of the package, so you don't have to worry. You know, You will be well fed and well taken care of.
Yeah. And then, like, the designers eat dinner and lunch and breakfast with us.
Yeah,
right.
You're so we're just
hanging out with superstars.
Yeah, you're hanging out with the Knitterati.
Yes.
Really.
Oh, yeah. I like that word.
Yeah. I didn't invent it, but it is a great word.
We like that word.
I can't claim it, but yes, the Knitterati are here, you guys.
And the fellow participants, I mean, the participants of all levels.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who are, you know, test knitting for, you know, people you've heard of and have gorgeous things. And then there are people who I think are knitting their first sweater.
Yeah, people who just started knitting a year or two ago are here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just as comfortable. And some of the classes, like I was in a class, knit your first sweater, and I have knitted a sweater
before.
You've
knitted a couple sweaters.
I've done them before, but I'm wearing one. But I'm still learning stuff in that class, and that's what's great about the smaller classes and the one-on-one time with the designers.
Dare I ask, are you thinking ahead towards next year? No pressure.
Oh, yeah. So the problem with next year is that in June, my son is graduating high school and my daughter is getting married.
So oh, boy.
I will not be having a retreat in June next year. But there's been a lot of requests to not do it and maybe do it another time. So,
So keep your eyes peeled.
Keep pestering me is the... Yeah. So no.
and what that should they like? Should they, in order to stay in touch and find out if there is a retreat next year and when time it would be, should they go on Facebook and like Knitwit, follow Knitwit?
The easiest way is to make sure you're on our newsletter.
Yeah.
So just go to knitwitportland.com and it should be at the bottom of the page to sign up for the newsletter. And the newsletters will show you.
And make sure it doesn't go to your spam folder or that you make sure you enable it so that it comes into your regular inbox.
Yep.
But that's the best way to stay in touch. But if you stop by or call Knitwit, they'll tell you too.
Oh, I have a question. Going back to the Maine yarn cruise, let's someone wants to, you know, plan a long weekend in Maine or a week-long trip. Maybe they're going to go visit Acadia National Park or something, and they want to... Do you have any tips for someone how to make their most of their time doing cruising along, finding the...
The new website, which should be launching Monday, is part of the whole digital package that we're putting together. It's going to allow you to, by region of the state, pick which yarn stores you want to go to, and it will give you a little Google map of how to get to all of them, and then... So you can see them on the map. You could say, all right, I'm here. Mm-hmm. These are the ones like I want to get to. And then Google will tell you how to get between them all.
Cool.
And check the opening hours too, just as a pro tip.
Yes.
Check your opening hours because some of them aren't open, say, on a Sunday, you know, as you might expect.
Right.
And some of them are open shorter hours, say, on a Saturday. So just keep your eye for that. And if you're going to get there at 12:30 and they close at 1. Maybe give them a call just to tell them you're on your way, just in case you run into traffic or something. So, pro tip.
And when we'll each shop like have its own thing going on, just so the people.
Oh yeah.
Well, the drawings will be different at every shop.
Yeah. Okay.
And every shop has their own things all summer long. So.
Yeah, some of them have extra giveaways. You know, it's fun.
Yep. And then we're going to, if we can get organized enough, put like different events that the different shops have going on the website, and then information on their giveaways. But it's not there yet. We're still frantically trying to get the new website launched before July 1st.
Yeah.
Details to follow.
Yeah, definitely.
And how do people find you, Melanie? So go on YouTube.
Yes. So Yarn Journeys on YouTube and Yarn Journeys on Instagram. And on Ravelry, I'm also Yarn Journeys.
That's handy.
I'm a little behind on my Ravelry posting right now, but that's on my to-do list to catch up.
We absolve you.
Thank you.
I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, and by the way, I totally forgot to mention, because the thing I'm behind, I have, so one of the things that I have tried to do is put all of my yarn collection. My sister-in-law told me not to use the word stash anymore.
Right.
All of my yarn collection on Ravelry. That actually helps you figure out what you can use for what pattern. It's a good thing. And of course I have added to my collection while I was here.
Of course.
And we have another dyer coming tonight. So
yeah.
That's the other thing we have here, is we bring in different local dyers to vend in the evening. So we had Snelly Gester last night, and we've got On the Round coming tonight.
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, constantly changing yarn store so that you can add to your carefully curated, museum-worthy yarn collection.
Exactly. Yes,
that may or may not be used to make garments. It's a collection in and of itself.
Yes, and I just look at it and think, wow, you know,
my
it's nice.
My collection is pretty tied to projects, though. That tends to be how I buy. Like, I usually don't just buy yarn because it's pretty.
Yeah.
And I no problem with people who do that. Sometimes I do, though, if I want to, just like, this could be a sock, so I'll buy it. But I usually buy it with a project in mind.
Yeah.
And then I have, since I moved, I was able to organize a lot of them. So now I've got this big cubby wall with, like, 3 or 4 different projects per cubby. And now, like, well, it's in my bedroom, and I'll go and I'm like, ooh, I want to work on that one, and I want to work on that one. And then I go to work, and, you know, I don't get to them. But it's keeping me interested in my projects that were interesting in the past.
Yeah. That is smart.
So hopefully I don't buy as many. But I also write the newsletter for the shop, and I try to feature some other pattern every week. And it's hard not to just, because I pick the ones I want to make. And then I want to make them. And I can't make a project a week, so.
No.
Especially while working. So it's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keeps me motivated.
I think a lot of people, when they travel, they like buying
souvenir yarn.
Souvenir yarn.
Yep, I do that too.
Which is why I've, two people, so this is a Casapinka design.
Yes, it's Shaved Ice by Casapinka.
And what I like about this is that it is 4 separate skeins of
fingering sock yarn.
Yeah. And so I, when in doubt, I always just buy a skein or two of sock yarn.
Exactly.
Like that is like the perfect. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. And she helped me pick out the colors. I mean, It was Emma's, so I couldn't really go wrong. But but she will help you pick out the colors if she's here at the retreat that you're at too. So that's another bonus.
She's good at that. That's always fun. Go yarn shopping with Casapinka.
Mm-hmm. Any tips on curating a yarn collection?
Well, my yarn collection is a little bit different because I have it set up. I just set up floor to ceiling cubbies, a big section of a room, and I've got it as if it's a shop. So I go from fingering all the way to like super bulky. And then on the bottom layer is where my notions and some started projects are, but most of it is just yarn. And my husband walked in, I was like, I'm done, what do you think? And he's like, it looks like a friggin' yarn store, except he didn't say that word. And I was like, yes. And it's like I have a yarn store in my house, and that makes me happy. So if I want to start a project, I go to, oh, what do I need? I need worsted. I go to the worsted section to see if I have something that will work. Then I'll generally buy something new anyway. But yeah, it's there. So that's my carefully curated yarn collection. It's kind of like a yarn store.
That's great. Because yarn makes us happy.
Yeah. It does. We have like opposite storage methods and buying methods, but yeah. It works.
It's how you can tell us apart.
Yeah. By our yarn store collection.
Yes. So just a running thread is that people have been calling Julie Jen and Jen Julie
all
our lives.
Yeah, all our lives.
Since we met.
Yeah. One of the yarn store owners, former yarn store owners we used to know, used to just...
Yeah, couldn't get us straight, so it kind of started there.
It's fine.
Because we'd always come in together and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and it worked.
And now maybe we'll be called Melanie. Who knows? Just answer to Jen, Julie, or Melanie. You'll be fine.
Sure.
But yeah, it's been lovely talking to you.
It's been great talking to you guys as well.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you.
So much for creating this lovely opportunity. And I am so excited to see what's to come next.
Yay. Yeah.